Heading to CBC? Make sure to stop by booth 1989 to chat with the Brewbound team, check out our live podcast recordings, and find out about Brewbound's upcoming events. Have news to submit ahead of the show? Head to brewbound.com/submitnews to let us know about your latest updates.
What's up with Brewbound Live? We're going to tell you on the Brewbound Podcast. Welcome back to the Brewbound Podcast. My name is Justin Kendall, and I am the editor of Brewbound, and I am joined on this audio journey by my colleague, Jess Infante. Jess, we've got a little bit of a holiday airing of the grievances to do here.
In my opinion, the best part of the holidays.
Well, I think my grievance this week is with you.
Really? Wow. Yes. We're just going to get right into it.
We are. We're going to dig right in. You called me out last week on GIF versus JIF, and I looked it up on Google, and it is JIF. I think I actually got it right. It is JIF.
No, the G is short for graphic, which is not pronounced graphic.
You should look it up on the Google. It is like the peanut butter. This is our big grievance that we have with each other right now.
I accept your grievance. I will agree to disagree.
Well, we should get to another grievance of yours, though. I know how much you love the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Oh. This is our post-Thanksgiving edition of the Brewbound Podcast. And so tell us how much you love the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Remind us.
I have zero love for the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I hate the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I kind of hate Thanksgiving in general, but that's another story. But the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, to rewind, I went to a teeny tiny all-girls Catholic high school. I graduated with 48 girls. Due to the magic of Facebook, I know what all of them have done in all of the years since. So I don't need to see them out at a crowded bar somewhere. Like, I just don't need that in my life. And one of my, you know, friends from high school, who I still keep in touch with, back when we were young, 21, 22, 23, she'd be like, let's go out and see who we see. I'm like, I don't want to see who I see. If I wanted to see those people, we'd be friends. So to avoid being stuck in some crappy bar somewhere, I have done a lot of things to make sure I have a good excuse to not go out. I got my wisdom teeth removed on the morning of the day before Thanksgiving. I once promised my brothers I would take them to a Fall Out Boy concert when they were underage. So that was a fun activity for me to say, hey, can't go to the bar with you guys. Got to be the cool big sister tonight. Really no love lost between me and the night before Thanksgiving. It is the worst.
Well, and there's a good reason that we're talking about this, because this has been called the biggest party night of the year, which I think New Year's Eve would have a beef here with that claim. But
I mean, they're both amateur nights. The bars are packed with people who never go out. If you have like a fairly robust social life, I feel like those are both two good nights to stay home.
Well, we've got some beer board data, though, that we got to share here that says on-premise volumes were actually down more than 57% compared to last Thanksgiving Eve. So a few more people taking the pandemic seriously and the calls to stay at home, you know, and not go out and do whatever you do with, you know, your exes or whoever you see from high school on the night before Thanksgiving. Probably a good thing this year, but still, this was up from a typical Wednesday, about 77% lift compared to the previous Wednesday that was. So still a lot of people not heeding that advice and going out.
Right. What's really interesting to me is that the Northeast seems to be leading the way here with, so I guess 56% more on-premise traffic in Northeastern states compared to the Wednesday the week before. Not really sure why that is, more so than California and the Southeast, which were each up 40% and 30%. So that's a significant bump in the Northeastern corner of the country. Not sure what's up with that.
It looks like you and I won't be going out anytime soon, given that statistic.
No, definitely not. Hard pass. This year, in honor of the night before Thanksgiving, I did pour myself a beer at home into my high school prom favor beer mug. Why is a Catholic girls' school giving out beer mugs as favors for their junior prom? I don't know, but I have it, and I like to drink out of it occasionally for the irony.
Well, that gets us into staying at home and drinking. The night before Thanksgiving, Drizly staples spiked 173.6% compared to the average of the last four Wednesdays. So a few more people staying home, making that online order at Drizly. Tell us a little more about what Drizly shared.
So that was a big bump on Wednesday, but sales were elevated all week. So Drizly sales spiked on the Monday, which it was a 43.6% increase over the average of the past four Mondays. That's nothing to sneeze at. And then Tuesday had an even bigger jump, almost 70% over the past four Tuesdays, but they did exclude Election Day because, as we reported a couple of weeks ago, Election Day had a big Drizly bump too. So people were just, you know, getting their ducks in a row prior to roasting their turkeys.
What were they drinking?
Mostly wine. Wine had a really big week. Wine edged out spirits for the top spot in Drizly's categories. Interesting. Beer sales were flat. Yeah. I mean, I guess beer is just not a big Thanksgiving drink. Not really sure.
Yeah.
I drank beer on Thanksgiving.
You can only do so much to help this category grow.
Yeah. The other interesting thing was that people were giving gifts. Gift orders on Drizly increased 44.4% in Thanksgiving week over the same time last year, which is honestly what I use Drizly the most for, just to send people who I, you know, I'm not, you know, close to, I mean, emotionally close, not, or just not geographically close, to send, you know, bottles of champagne if they're celebrating something and I can't see them. That's what I use Drizly for.
Oh, I was hoping it was to the people you weren't emotionally close to that you just randomly send them champagne or some type of beer.
That would be something. I am very nice, but I am not that nice.
Yeah, well, at least one of us is nice.
At the beginning of this podcast, I don't sound like a very nice person, though, so who knows?
Malt Europe Malting Company is North American proud with premium grains from field to flavor. Our selections include base, specialty, and distillers malt varieties. Stop by our booth, 2143, at the Craft Brewers Conference in Vegas. Does your brewing software suck? We've heard it from thousands of brewers. Connect with Ollie today and we'll buy out your current contract and hook you up with brewing software that doesn't suck. Visit booth 1685 at CBC or hit getollie.com/pod.
Speaking of helping this category grow, Brewbound Live, our business conference, is coming up on December 14th and 15th, and we are here to reveal the lineup. Unfortunately, this year, we are not in Santa Monica. It was always sort of a nice post-Thanksgiving, not a vacation because we're working our asses off, but it definitely doesn't hurt to be in a beach environment when you're doing this thing. And, you know, we're usually hanging out with a lot of our industry friends, sharing beers, gossiping, doing everything, networking, everything that, you know, that people love to do in this industry because it is a social industry, but we just cannot do that this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we have two afternoons of discussions for our brewbound.com subscribers. So what's on tap? Let's reveal that agenda here.
Sure. So day one, December 14th, starts at 1 p.m. Eastern time. So you can probably hit it over your lunch break or in the morning when you're having coffee on the West Coast. And the very first agenda item is lessons learned on advocacy with Julie Verratti, who is one of the co-founders of Denizens Brewing Company in Silver Springs, Maryland. Julie's been really vocal throughout the pandemic. She actually has previous professional experience at the Small Business Administration. So she's had a lot of great insights to share with everybody about what they can do to get through this time and how to deal with all of the red tape at the federal government level.
Yep. Really looking forward to talking with Julie and hearing what she has to say on advocacy and building businesses. And from there, we're going to bring you a discussion with New Belgium CEO, Steve Fetchheimer. And we're going to talk a lot about building a sub brand, which they have done with Voodoo Ranger. It is a juggernaut. And while Fat Tire is still chugging along, Voodoo Ranger has really provided the company a boost. And Steve's going to talk all about it. And we'll also get into a little bit of a year later after the deal that they did with Lion Little World Beverages.
What they've done with Voodoo Ranger is fascinating. They've really kind of given themselves a whole nother avenue and introduced themselves to a whole new segment of drinkers.
Absolutely. And from there, we're going to talk a little bit about the next types of beverages that we see as having potential to take off, whether it be canned cocktails, party punch, THC-infused drinks, or ranch water, which is my new favorite sub-segment within the hard seltzer segment. And here to do that, we'll have Katie Beal Brown, the founder of Lone River Beverage Company, which makes ranch water. We'll have Luke Anderson, co-founder of Can. Amy Stedman, one of the co-founders of Beatbox, maker Future Proof. And Felipe Spiegel, the co-founder of Five Drinks. And if you've been to a Brewbound conference before, you likely know Felipe from his time leading Anheuser-Busch's craft beverage unit.
That's going to be really interesting.
Yeah. And we'll wrap up the day with a happy hour. And while we can't be at Shea J, we'll try and make the most of a little Zoom happy hour and networking session featuring our friend Don Bixel Jr. of Three Tier Beverage and also Tommy Arthur of the Lost Abbey Port Brewing, the Hop Concept, and Tiny Bubbles. They'll be here along with a few others. And then we'll move on to day two.
Yeah, day two's got a lot going on. So we're going to open the day with our annual presentation from Nielsen VP of Beverage Alcohol Practice, Danelle Cosmall, and Nielsen CGA's Matthew Crompton. So those guys will share a lot about just what they've been seeing in their respective halves of the beverage alcohol world over the past 10 months.
Yeah, we're going to try and bring you as complete a picture of the industry as we can right now, sort of a state of the industry, trends, everything there. And then we're going to move on to another discussion that goes beyond grocery and liquor. We're going to look at off-premise opportunities in e-commerce and drug. We'll have Randy Ornstein, the director of alcohol at GoPuff, which is in the process of acquiring, 161 BevMo stores. So a lot going on with GoPuff. And we'll also have Christopher Camacho, the beer category manager at Walgreens, and maybe one other person to fill out that panel. That's still in the works.
It always kind of blows my mind that you can buy beer in places like Walgreens, because you can't in the two states where I've spent, you know, my entire beer buying life, New Jersey and Massachusetts. So it'd be really interesting to hear what both those guys have to say.
Absolutely. And then you're hosting a panel on mental health.
Yeah, something that should probably be talked about a lot more than it has been. We are having a discussion on mental health in the brewing industry. We have Dr. Carlin Barnes, Dr. Marquetta Wills. They are both board-certified psychiatrists and authors of Understanding Mental Illness, A Comprehensive Guide to Mental Illness for Family and Friends. That is the doctor's book. But they recently wrote a story for Psychology Today about how entrepreneurs can cope with the stresses of 2020 and what people who own businesses should be doing to take care of their own mental health during what's been a really trying time and certainly an extraordinarily trying time for people in the beer industry. Then we'll also have Jackie Warner Garman, who is a psychotherapist and the co-owner of Hidden Springs Ale Works in Florida. And rounding out that panel with Celine Frew, the HR director at Allagash Brewing. And Allagash, as we reported earlier this fall, did something really cool and something pretty unique for the industry. They put on reserve 10 hours of free counseling a week at a mental health counseling office in Portland, Maine for their employees to take advantage of. We're really going to try to cover a few topics here. what entrepreneurs and other people working in the beer industry can do to avoid burnout. Because, you know, when you're working from home, you kind of feel like you're living at work. It's not so much working from home. So we'll cover what to do to avoid burnout. And then just kind of, we'll talk about the social isolation that everybody's been feeling. Because Justin, like you said before, this is an industry built on social connection and in-person hangouts. And we haven't been able to do any of that. So I'm really excited that we're going to make this panel happen.
Yeah. And I think there's an opportunity here to also discuss some of the mental toll that a lot of the hard decisions this year have put on not only workers, but brewery owners, because we've seen a number of layoffs, you know, furloughs, and that's really tough. I don't have to say that's tough. It's absolutely devastating to folks. So
yeah,
there's a mental toll with that unfortunately, this industry is really feeling.
And the absolute uncertainty of what's happening with shutdown restrictions and orders from local governments and like, can I have guests at my establishment? Can I not? Maybe there's some guilt associated from what happens if somebody on your staff contracts COVID. Lots of stuff going on. So I think it's good to just get it out in the open. And then I feel like this topic just doesn't get, you know, discussed enough. Like, not that we're going to make this about me, but I've been in talk therapy for God, almost 7 years. And in the beginning, it was kind of interesting where friends who knew I was going would be a little sheepish and be like, hey, I think you talked to someone. Can you give me your number? And in the years since, people are a lot more open about it, which is great. I mean, I think you don't need to have massive personal problems to be able to do this. It's just great to have a professional in your life who's objective that you can talk to you about stuff. And I obviously have started seeing somebody years ago to cope with the loss of my dad, but we talk about all sorts of stuff. It's really like the best 45 minutes of my week.
While we're acknowledging that it's been a super challenging year, we also want to celebrate some of the high points this year. And we're bringing together a final panel for a toast. It's not something that we normally do, but there have been some really cool things that have happened this year in the beer industry. And we just want to celebrate some of those things, whether it's Mujeres Brew Club, the 8-Trail Pills Initiative, the things that you just mentioned at Allagash Brewing, the efforts that beer culture have undertaken, and what's going on at Brewability in Colorado, which I don't know if folks know a lot about Brewability, but hopefully we can shine a little more light on that business. Brewability was started by a special needs educator, and they hire people with special needs to work within the brewery. And it's a really cool business. I'm excited for you all to find out more about it. And so on that panel, we'll have Carmen and David Favela, the co-founders of Border X Brewing and Mujeres Brew Club. We'll have Benny Ashburn and Teo Hunter, the co-founders of Crowns and Hops, which was last year's Brewbound Live Pitch Slam winner. We'll have Rob Todd, the founder of Allagash Brewing. We'll have Tiffany Fixter, the founder of Brewability, and Letitia Cook, the president and CEO of Beer Culture.
I think it's going to be really fun. It'll be just great to like wrap the conference on a high note, and we'll just get these guys together and acknowledge, you know, all the good stuff that they've done this year and have a little virtual happy hour. We can just kind of toast each other for making it to December 2020. Wow.
Yeah. Halfway home there at the end of December. Before we get out of here, let's hit some of the headlines. One of the deals that went down this week was Canarchy forging a sales and distribution partnership with Revitalite, which helps prevent dehydration, according to its website. But we're talking about a hangover cure sold in liquor stores and C-stores. No more Pedialyte purchases, apparently. Although, if you look at the Revitalite website, there's an entire section with Twitter posts from people talking about how they are in like CVS and they're purchasing Pedialyte, and people are looking at them odd, and they are, you know, making excuses for why they're buying Pedialyte, that their baby's really sick when they're sweating vodka or whatever. So I guess it's the adultification of that, maybe.
I guess. I don't know. What's your go-to hangover fixer?
I don't know that I really have one other than,
because you're a responsible,
you know,
grown-up and don't have hangovers? Wow, I'm impressed.
I can't remember the last hangover that I've had, honestly. It's been a long time.
You, sir, are a role model.
I am not a role model, as Charles Barkley would say. So,
my go-to preventer is vitamin B12 complex and a lot of water the night before. If that doesn't do the trick, depending on where I am, a Wawa chocolate milk. If I'm not in Wawa land, a fountain Diet Coke.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. The best thing I've ever encountered, though, is the saline drip bag, which is another story for another time.
That is next level. Also this week, we've reported on layoffs at Founders and Ninkasi, and there are probably more coming with the shutdowns as people lay off retail staff and hospitality staff. Founders said their layoffs were temporary. So not that we want to play Grim Reaper here, but you know, this is just where we are in this pandemic, and it's an endless cycle of reopening, closing, reopening, and now we're heading into the colder months.
Mm-hmm. That's just got to be really tough if you're on taproom staff and you're furloughed, not furloughed. It just must be really, really stressful.
Yeah. And again, you know, this is why we're hosting a panel on mental health at Brewbound Live this year. Also this week, we reported on a lot of job changes. Chief among them, Flying Fish president Lou Romano is leaving the beer business after 15 years. He led Flying Fish, which is in New Jersey, your home state, for the last 3 years. And so if you're looking for a job, by the way, the Brewbound Jobs Board has a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, it's been pretty busy lately, which is really nice to see. So even though things are kind of weird right now, the industry's still hiring. So that's definitely good.
And something you reported on last week, Beer Culture launching its own job board.
Yeah, the Beer Culture job board launched in September. And the goal there is to bring beer industry jobs to one spot where people know to go look for them. And Beer Culture's whole stated mission is to introduce craft beer to communities of color, people who are normally kind of left out of the beer industry conversation. So, and a lot of times you'll hear breweries, and not just breweries, but you know, you'll hear businesses say, well, we really wish we had a more diverse staff, but nobody applies to our jobs. So Letitia Cook at Beer Culture said, okay, I'm going to give you a place to post your job openings. So they've been able to place candidates at, I know, Torch and Crown in New York, Green Bench in Florida. They've done a really great job in introducing beer industry opportunities to people who might normally not see all the usual suspects for beer industry jobs. So kudos to them. That was a really great story to write.
Yep, that's fantastic. And I love both of those breweries, Torch and Crown and Green Bench. And another story you wrote about, and another brewery that we love, Russian River. They're going to DTC with Pliny the Younger this year. So no pilgrimage to is that Northern California, or is that the like Northern Bay Area? Well, whatever. So no pilgrimage to Santa Rosa and Windsor this year, or in early 2021.
No. And Russian River's been using DTC kind of throughout the pandemic. They started leaning into it in March. They only ship within California, but Natalie Chillerzo has said that it's really been a help for them, and it helps get their beer to, you know, Californians all over the state. And even though you can only ship within California, like that's the state to do it. And it's certainly the biggest. So just another way to get your beer out to people. So Pliny the Younger will be available in mixed cases. You'll order a 12-pack, you'll get two bottles of Younger, and then you'll get a few other goodies from Russian River. If you live in California and everybody's asking you for your address right now, it's probably not because they want to send you a holiday card. It's because they want to send Pliny the Younger to your house. So just ask some questions.
A lot of folks out there are probably reaching out to their friends in California, and hopefully they'll, you know, hook their friend up with some Pliny the Younger too, you know, as a thank you for, you know, for also hooking themselves up.
Receiving the delivery. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just a friendly thing to do. My brother lives in LA for the moment, but with not having to go to his office, he and his wife are giving up their lease. So I have lost my California shipping address, unfortunately.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, but now they don't have to pay rent for like 7 or 8 months. So not too shabby.
Yeah. I would like to not pay rent, but that's something I did today. And finally,
it is the first.
It is. And finally, before we get out of here, less than a month after the deal was announced, Canadian cannabis company Aphria has closed on its acquisition of Atlanta's Sweetwater Brewing Company. So, done deal.
That was really quick. I feel like usually when M&A stuff gets announced, it's months before it closes, but they definitely kept it close to their closing date.
Yeah, that's as easy of a transaction, I think, as we've seen. So read all of those stories and more at brewbound.com. Feel free to subscribe. We'd love to have you as a subscriber, but you will not need a subscription to see this year's Pitch Slam.
Very cool. So the 12th edition of the Brewbound Pitch Slam is slated for December 8th and 10th. It will take place both days at 4 p.m. Eastern, and you'll be able to catch it on brewbound.com, Brewbound's YouTube channel, Brewbound's Facebook page, and I believe LinkedIn.
Yep, it's all over the place. So a lot of exposure for the 12 competitors. And we've also got 8 great judges, which include industry leaders from Arlington Capital, Wine Warehouse, Crowns and Hops, Fresh Fest, Buffalo Wild Wings, and Anheuser-Busch's Brewers Collective. Oh, and Blind Tiger, our friends at Blind Tiger Design.
So 2 different judging panels is a new innovation to Brewbound Pitch Slam this year. And it'll be really interesting to see how many, which of the 12 competitors, you know, advance to the second round. And you can check it out on all of those platforms.
Yeah. So if you like Shark Tank-like competitions, then this is the show for you. That's all we have this week. Check out brewbound.com for the latest news, including the latest off-premise data from IRI via Jess. Listen and subscribe to the Brewbound podcast on every podcast platform imaginable. Because you're listening to a podcast, you know how to do it. If you have comments for us, send it to podcast@brewbound.com. Thanks to our audio team of one, Joe. And that's it. We'll be back in a couple weeks after Brewbound Live if we survive.